أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. We were talking about some tangible elements of faith, of taqwa, elements which are components going with the theoretical background. Taqwa, of course, is an attitude. What that attitude should accompany with certain things, otherwise we won't have it. We may think we have it, but we don't have it. In Surah Al-Imran, what we discussed about Muttaqeen, which inshallah we are hopeful that by fasting in this month we are increasing our taqwa. Certain elements were mentioned. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالزَّرَّاءِ. Those who share what they have, give what they have, whether in comfort or in difficulty, in ease or in hardship, in poverty or when they are rich, they do give. Wal kadhimin al ghayz, and those who hold their anger. Wal afina an nas, and those who forgive people. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Then there is one other thing which especially is important in this month for us to regard and to think about. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And those who are like this, when they do commit some sin, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. When they commit a great sin, this is very interesting. All of us have put behind us a long history of our lives. And in this long history, we may have committed things which we shouldn't have done. We have been negligent of Allah. Sometimes we have, in the urge of situations, we have done things which are very indecent. Now, Allah says, do not be disappointed if you have done these things. You know, when Allah says, "Wal afina anin nas," those who forgive people, that should be manifested in him more than anyone else, isn't it? So he should be the most forgiving. He should be the one who forgives most. And therefore, here he says that, I have that attitude too. If anyone does something wrong and wants to come back, the door is always open. The door for going back to Allah is always, always open. The only condition is that you remember him and want to go back to him. That's all. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Fahisha is any great sin. Here Allah is talking about great sins, not the small sins. Even if you have done great sins. ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, wrong themselves. We do wrong ourselves every day by committing minor sins. Minor sins are hurting people, saying something which hurts others, disregarding someone who's talking, and all these things, these are minor sins. And by minor sins, we wrong ourselves. By major sins, of course, we destroy ourselves. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَعَيْشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغَفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ, and they ask forgiveness for their sins. This is one of the elements of taqwa. So muttaqi is not someone who never sins. It happens for all of us. Muttaqi is someone who, when they sin, they remember Allah immediately and they go back. They repent, they prostrate, they cry, they say, God, I did something wrong, please forgive me. This is fastaghfiru lidhunubihim. This month is the month of forgiveness. So try to speak to the Lord with sincere heart. That's very important. Long du'as, if it don't come from heart, it is of no use. Sincerely speak from our heart to the Lord. This is what makes connection possible between us and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, let me tell you one story. It's a very interesting story. There were two men traveling, and they, on their way, they passed by some Bedouin tents, and they arrived in one of the tents. The owner of the tent was a very generous, hospitable person. He received them very well. He offered them everything free of charge because they were his guests. And it happened that they wanted to stay overnight. It happened that one of them died on that night, one of these guests. Now in the morning, when his companion, his friend, woke up, saw that his friend is dead, he became very distraught, very sad, and said to the owner of the tent, the Bedouin, come help, let's bury my friend. I cannot, of course, take him anywhere. So they, when they wanted to bury, before burying, he said to the Bedouin, would you lead Salatul Janazah so that we do Salatul Janazah on this man? He said, I don't know. I don't know how to lead Salatul Janazah. I don't know how to say Salatul Janazah. He said, okay, I lead and you repeat after me. He did. A few nights later, this man saw his friend in his dream. And he was in a very good place. He asked him about his situation. He said, I'm in a very good situation because of the dua of that Bedouin man. He was amazed. That Bedouin man didn't know even how to pray Salatul Janazah. So how his dua? So on his way back, he went to that man, to the Bedouin. He told him, I want to ask you one thing, and I want you to tell me the truth. Tell me what dua, what dhikr you made so that my friend was forgiven and was given a good place. He said, I didn't say anything, I didn't do anything. He said, it's not possible. You have said something, some dhikr. He said, yes. I didn't know how to say the dua of Salatul Janazah. I just said, Ya Allah, this man was my guest. And I was generous to him. Now he is your guest. Please, you be generous to him too. I just said this. You see, something which comes from the heart. This is what we say. Actually, this is what we say in Salatul Janazah. That this man or this woman is your slave, Nazala Bek is now your guest. وأنت خير منزول and you are the best host. So help him or help her. This is what we say in Salat al-Janazah actually in the dua. Now this man didn't know the dua, but he said the content of the dua with his heart. He was my guest, I was generous to him. Now he's your guest, you be generous to him. This is how the dua becomes effective. If you speak from your heart. That's why we are told that remember your sins when you speak with Allah, when you want to ask forgiveness, and tell Allah that who would, if you do not forgive me, who would forgive me? وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Who would forgive the sins but Allah? Who would do that? Say it with your own language, say it with your own heart. That's what is important. We have in the Quran that the wrongdoers, if on the day of judgment they have the whole full earth, the weight of the earth, or twice the weight of the earth gold, to give as a ransom to free themselves from their sins, they cannot do it. It's not possible on the day of judgment. But here, just one sincere word of apology works. No one would take our burdens. You cannot bargain your burdens. This is your burden with anything else. This was the idea of the politics of the time. I wonder if you remember these verses in Surah An-Najm. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي تَوَلَّى وَأَعْطَى قَلِيلًا وَأَكْدَى أعنده علم الغيب فهو يرى أم لم ينبأ بما في صحف موسى وإبراهيم الذي وفى ألا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى. No one would take the burden of anyone else. The exegetes, those who report the occasions of revelation, they say that these verses were revealed about Uthman ibn Affan, the third caliph, at the time of the Prophet, who was somehow deceived by one of his relatives. He had lots of money. You know, Uthman was a wealthy man right from the beginning. And he was giving sadaqah, he was giving infaq. This is what we are reported. And his Rida'i brother, his brother who had actually the same mother in nursing and giving milk with him, Ibn Abi Sarh, he came to him and said, so much money you are wasting, you are giving away. Why you do this? He said, I have lots of sins and I want to be forgiven for my sins. That's why I give money as infaq, and this is true. If you have sins, help others. Your sins will be removed, will be forgiven. One way of forgiveness is helping others. That would forgive, make the sins to be washed away. He said, I have lots of sins, so I give this sadaqah so that my sins are forgiven. He said, just give me one load of camel, one camel with the full load of whatever. And on the day of judgment, I take all your sins. Because he did not believe. He did not believe. Day of judgment. He said, I take all your sins. Whatever sin you have on the day of judgment, I take it and let me be punished instead of you. I don't know why Uthman believed him. He said, okay, take this one camel with all its load, and they signed a contract that Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh on the day of judgment would take all the burdens of Uthman ibn Affan. They signed the contract. Then these verses were revealed. أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي تَوَلَّى وَأَعْطَى قَلِيلًا. He gave a little and stopped. Now, the reporters of the occasion of this revelation, they say that Uthman was spending a lot, but Allah says, أَعْطَى قَلِيلًا, gave a little. وَأَكْتَى, stopped. Didn't give any more. أَعِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْغَيْبِ فَهُوَ يَرَى. Now, this A'indahu may refer to Abdullah ibn Abbasar or refer to him. Does he have the knowledge of the ghayb? Or is he seeing what is going to happen on the day of judgment? Has he not heard what we revealed in the books of Musa and Ibrahim? أَمْ لَمْ يُنَبَّعْ بِمَا فِي صُحُفِ مُوسَى وَإِبْرَاهِيمِ الَّذِي وَفَّى. Allah taziru waziratun wizra ukhra. No one would take the burden of any other person. No one. So, وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Who will forgive the sins but Allah? Who can help? It's only Allah who can help. وَلَمْ يُسِرُّ عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. When they understand something is wrong, they do not insist to continue doing it. أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. You know, before we enter paradise, we need a maghfirah from Allah. No matter how good we are, there are still specks of impurity in our soul, which would not allow us to enter into the abode of peace. Paradise is Darus Salam. Wallahu yad'u ila Darus Salam. Darus Salam is abode of peace. Why peace is not present in this world? It's because of impurities of our heart, isn't it? Because we have grudges, because we have greed, because we have jealousy, because we transgress, the peace goes away. Peace of heart, peace of mind, let alone the peace in the community. When you want to enter the abode of peace, paradise, when you want to enter that abode, first of all, you should not be selfish. Because if you are selfish, you concentrate, focus on your own interests only, and then you start to wrong others. Selfishness, arrogance should be taken away completely from your heart. You should not have jealousy. You should not have greed. All these impurities of the heart should go so that the peace comes there. If we don't have peace in our heart, it is because either of ignorance or greed or jealousy or worries of selfishness. This is why we don't have peace of heart. Now, if we want to enter the abode of peace, all these should go away. How would they go away while we have taken these things with ourselves to the hereafter? It is Allah who would do it. Wallahu أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغَفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. First of all, the first thing is that Allah should wash away all these things from your heart. Especially arrogance. Arrogance is when we focus upon ourselves. And we have in hadith from Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam that arrogance is the last thing which leaves the heart of a person, even a believer. And unless that arrogance leaves our heart, we cannot enter paradise. Now you can imagine what sort of place is paradise. No arrogance, no worry, no greed, no jealousy, nothing like that. It's abode of peace. And it is Allah who takes all these from the heart of believers. We are believers. Of course, we believe in God. we have full belief, full faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, we know ourselves. بَلْ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. We know what is in our heart. We know the grudges, the greed, on all these things which are in our heart. And we die in this state. And when we die in this state, we take whatever is in our heart with us. So how are these going to go away, to be removed? How? It's only by the maghfirah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need that. Everyone needs that. أُولَٰئِكَ لَجَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. That sakina would come into the heart. In Surah Al-Hadid we have, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لِيَزْدَادُ إِيمَانًا مَعَ إِيمَانِهِمْ. He is the one who sends tranquility and composure and peace to the heart of the believers so that they add faith to faith. It means what? It means faith is the center of peace and tranquility. أَلَا بِذَكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. And if faith goes away, worries, lack of peace would fill the heart. Now, as the faith increases, the peace of the heart would increase. This is what we are going to receive, inshallah, in the paradise. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَجَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا نِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْآمِلِينَ. What a good reward is for those who act, not for those who talk, those who act. This is the important thing. Okay, fair enough. We now know that certain things we have to increase in Ramadan. There are certain things that we have to do in Ramadan, especially during the nights or when we are very hungry. We have to contemplate. One of the most important elements of worship is contemplation. What is contemplation? This is what is alluded to in our tradition as at-tafakkur, tafakkur, contemplating about important things, not about insignificant things. Contemplating about the philosophy of life, about why we live, what is the purpose of our life. And this contemplation, especially in this month, is very important. On the night of Qadr, don't only think about, I do the a'mal. Doing the a'mal mechanically, it's good to come to the mosque, to sit together, to do the a'mal together. But be careful. The state of your heart is very important on these nights. And it's by contemplation that we get the core of worship. It's the contemplation that can change the quality of our prayer, the quality of our fasting, the quality of our relation to God. Contemplation can change that. That's why the merits of tafakkur or contemplation are huge. Let me give you a couple of traditions about tafakkur. And inshallah, in these nights of Ramadan, we would be aided and assisted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do some contemplation. Find some private time with Allah during these nights. Sit before standing for salat. Think about yourself, about your life, about your existence. How have you come about? Why are you here? These are the things that we have to think about. Amirul Mu'min alayhi salam said, "Nabbih bitafakkur qalbak." By tafakkur, by contemplation, awaken your heart. And heart is another term for soul, for human soul. Our souls are sleeping. So let wake it up. With what? With contemplation. In some traditions we have that tafakkur sa'atan khayrun min ibadati sanatin. One moment of tafakkur sa'a, now of course sa'a we translate as hour, but at that time we didn't have this convention of hour and such things. Sa'a means moment. That's why in the Quran about the moment of the resurrection, he said, yas'alunaka an as-sa'a, they ask you about that moment when the change into akhirah happens. So tafakkuru sa'atin, one moment of tafakkur is better than 1 year of worship. In other tradition we have tafakkur sa'atin khayrun min ibadati sab'ina sanah. One moment of tafakkur is better than worship of 70 years. In other tradition we have tafakkur sa'atin khayrun min qiyam laylatin. One moment of tafakkur and contemplation is better than one night vigil. Now, is there any discrepancy between these? In some tradition it says one night vigil, in some tradition it's better than 1 year of worship, in some tradition it's better than 70 years of worship. It depends on the depth of your contemplation, what you contemplate about. Sometimes you contemplate for one moment and the whole your whole life would change. This is better than the worship of 70 years. The quality of your worship of 70 years would change by one moment of contemplation. That is one level, one depth. Sometimes your contemplation is so superficial, it's better than one night vigil. However, do not be smart. Don't say that, okay, I sit and contemplate for one moment, then that would do for 70 years of worship. I don't worship during my life. It means that you have done counter contemplation, because contemplation should bring you to more worship, to more obedience. It means, what these mean, it means that the reward you receive, the prize you get by one moment of contemplation, is sometimes better than 1 year of your worship. The prize, the reward. Okay, what should we contemplate about? Now, in this month of Ramadan, what should we contemplate about? When we sit alone with the Lord, what is it that we have to bring to our soul and to our mind? This hadith was very famous. It's from the Prophet, peace be upon him. Someone asked Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam that this hadith which is reported about tafakkur and contemplation, that is better than worship of 70 years or 1 year or one night vigil. What areas of thought we have to tap upon? What should we think about? He said like this. The Rawi asks, Kaifa yatafakkar? How a man should contemplate? About what? He said like this. And this is just an example. Qala yamurru bil kharbah aw bid dar. فَيَقُولُ أَيْنَ سَاكِنُوكَ أَيْنَ بَانُوكَ. When they pass by ancient ruined sites, palaces which are destroyed by the passage of time, or when they pass by buildings, mansions, palaces which have been built for several years and they are still there, they ask themselves, they contemplate inside, where are those who built you? Where are those who lived in you? This gives us that awareness about transient nature of this life, isn't it? It's very important that we always remind ourselves about the transient nature of this life, about the shortness of our stay on this earth. This is contemplation, that we are going to leave this world soon. Nowadays, of course, we are encouraged to go and visit different sites in the world to see the ancient remnants of different civilizations, but we are not encouraged to think about it. We are just said, go and look, wow, what stones, for example. How did they bring stones, for example, from faraway mountains to this valley to build this palace, for example? These are the things that when we go to any sort of ancient site, we are told about the for example, the quality of the stone, the importance of the architecture. These are very good. These are, of course, the science for this world. However, contemplation goes deeper than this. Not just thinking about the architecture. It is said, it is written, that when Napoleon Bonaparte went to Egypt, when the France conquered Egypt, and he went and stood before these huge statues of Pharaon on the shores of the Nile. You have seen these huge statues of Pharaon. It's huge. And when Napoleon wanted to look at the head and he put his head up, his hat fell from behind. And it was very amazing for him. He was mesmerized by the magnificence of the statue and greatness of it. And he said that if there was one man in the world to be called a real man, it was you who built such a statue for yourself. Okay, this is one way of looking at things. Another way of looking at things is that looking at that statue and say, Pharaoh, where are you now? You built this for yourself, for your glory, for your magnificence, but where are you? This is another way of contemplating things. Inshallah, in the following nights, I will talk about several areas that we can contemplate about. Several areas that we can, by pondering upon them, we can feel the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon ourselves. We can drive away arrogance from our own souls and become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.